What's going on, everybody? It's Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have an amazing DJ, my friend, Josuel, here on this podcast, the My DJ Story podcast. Can you introduce yourself, brother, where you're from?
Thank you, Daryl. DJ Josuel from New York City.
Awesome, brother. Welcome to the My DJ Story podcast, and we're super happy to have you here. Let's jump right into this. I know you well, but our audience wants to know you well as well. So talk about your journey as a DJ. Talk about the beginning. How'd you get started? How'd you get interested in DJing? And where did it start?
Yeah, so, you know, I think that I came from a musical family in that, you know, on Sundays I would hear bachata and salsa and merengue when my mom was cleaning the house. But then I would go to school and then I'd hear, you know, Kanye and the latest Jay-Z. And then I would go online and on my free time and discover, you know, rock and roll and discover house music. And I think that's the experience of someone who grows up in New York City and you know, now with access to, you know, these little things we have in our phones, you can kind of have that experience anywhere. So I had a huge saturation of music that was very different growing up, and I always wanted to kind of do something about it, and DJing just was really an amazing outlet because I didn't have to focus on one instrument or one genre or one thing. And you know, even though, you know, I also play guitar and decided to take that up, this was always a way to pay homage to that. And then, you know, I love people, I love connection, and I love performance. So there's another way to kind of bring that aspect to it, and kind of use my voice. So that's really how it all started as a young person for me.
That's awesome, man. And how old were you when you first started DJ?
So I took my first, so I started by my aunts. I think a lot of musicians, you know, it's kind of like at the beginning, you don't really have the equipment. So you have to go to like the cool kid's house that has the equipment. and that was my experience. And in my case, it was my aunt's former husband that was really the first time that I got to touch DJ equipment. So those were kind of the early version of the CDJs, or maybe, you know, maybe 5-10 years into CDJs, but now early, because now we have 25 plus years of controllers. And, you know, just to, I remember using it as, you know, obviously not knowing, you know, I'm not gonna say it. I can easily curse, but not knowing, insert the blank, about DJing. That was the first access. So I would say around 10, 11. And I began liking it enough that in my sophomore year of high school, which was already when I was, you know, 14 or so, I started taking lessons at a place called the Scratch Academy. And then that was like the first time being in a room with DJs that actually performed for a living, because my you know, family member in that case was really kind of doing it for like house parties. So then there, that's kind of like my eyes opened up a little bit about you can kind of do this more seriously. And I spent all of my money there because those lessons were very expensive.
Gotcha. So you got introduced to kind of professional DJ from Scratch Academy, and that was around, you know, high school, like 14, 15. Uh-huh. And is that the moment that you decided that I want to be a professional DJ and actually get paid to do this, or did it take some years to kind of make that decision?
Yeah, so I think I know why you asked that, because it wasn't that moment. You know, I think that, so for me, I grew up, you know, my kind of passions include music, but also baseball, and I play a lot of baseball. And I would say also performance, which I've alluded to. But I would I was under a lot of, you know, influence from my dad to play baseball. So I ended up dropping DJing when I was 16 to focus exclusively on baseball, apart from still going to school. And it kind of made sense because at that time, professional sports is one of those things that if you want to do it, you do have to kind of try to go for it when you're, you know, a kid, because it's really unprecedented to see a lot of people kind of try to learn a new sport and then become a major leaguer or in the 30s. And that's not the case with music. So in a way, I was lucky in that I went for that dream, and obviously I didn't make it. And, you know, I went to the DR, actually moved to the Dominican Republic to pursue baseball when I was 16 for a year. I was just like the turntables, wasn't very good or good enough at least to get signed. So that didn't work out. And then when I came back, I actually, you know, an experience that I had that I think is important is that I think a combination of I thought a lot about what I wanted to do myself when that didn't work out, the whole baseball thing. And I think that, you know, I actually said, hey, do I want to do something like more? Do I want to like embark on another ambitious dream, or do I want to take these opportunities in front of me, like college and stuff like that? And I actually went for that side. I guess I decided I was going to be a good kid. But then 6 years later, approaching my mid-20s, I realized that, hey, like, you know, being a good kid sometimes means that you're not, like, you know, following your dreams. And in that case, you know, I started a company, and I've been running a company, you know, full time for several years, and I'm an entrepreneur, and that's an incredible dream in itself. But I in the last few years, and especially with COVID and being home and picking up the DJ decks again, I've realized that, hey, I want to go back to that dream too, because we can have different dreams and different aspirations. So yeah, so definitely. So now in my mid-20s, I've been back in the game, and you hear stories of people, and I feel especially in DJing, you know, compared to like other artistries, I think you hear a lot of stories of people that started and stopped and started again for whatever reason. It's a very unique environment, it's a very unique role, because you're almost like providing a service to people. You're a musician that provides a service, right? Because, yeah. You know, sure, you know, a violinist or whatever, you know, a drummer, they provide a service and entertainment. But I think with the DJing, it's also a service in you are there to create events and experiences, you know, and from that comes all these other things that you can navigate that might give you a burnout, or you might feel like you're not in it for the right reasons. And I never had that, thankfully, but sometimes that becomes a reason why people come in and out of the game. But for me, it was more around pursuing this other dream again. And first it was baseball, then it was startups, and then realizing when it felt right to kind of jump back in it again, which, like I said, was I started taking it more seriously around 12 months ago.
Wow, so that's interesting. So the COVID-19 pandemic actually allowed you to realize that, you know, this DJ passion is not just a dream that is something that you're not gonna want to pursue. It's actually, you know, in your reach to pursue, and kind of COVID-19 gave you an excuse or a reason to kind of pursue it. Mm-hmm. So that's actually very interesting, especially when, you know, COVID kind of changed, you know, and kind of shut down some people's DJ's career. It actually rewoken yours and did the exact opposite.
Yeah, you that's so funny. That's so true. And I remember right when COVID started, there was a lot of, I was lucky, I guess, to kind of receive that message. And it came from, I guess, like not the best place, you know, but and I was hearing like A-Rod, and I mean, I love A-Rod, but he's not, you know, he's not Nostradamus or anything like that. But I was hearing A-Rod, and he was doing, it was, you know, right when COVID hit, a lot of the celebrities, a lot of these people started, you know, getting on Instagram Live, and it was kind of the start of this whole live revolution that your app, the Club app, is part of. But the I remember him saying like, oh, you know, like this is the time where like everybody like are gonna, people are gonna go like 10 steps back, but you can really take this time of change and to go like 10 steps forward. And I remember not liking that, but believing it, because I'm like, people are dying. Like, how can you say this? Like, that's such a like vain way to say it, to talk about catastrophe, which undoubtedly got worse and worse since March. But I actually took that to heart and kind of said, hey, you know, like really started a whole reevaluation of my life. And what I found out was that I was an autopilot for many years of this dream, and you know, of startups. But I've been blessed because it's paid the bills. It's been an incredible journey, and I've learned more about myself. But I've realized a lot of my passions extend that, and now I can fit this into me, and that's amazing, because you know, we know that a lot of DJs, you know, they still have to kind of balance both of those things, how to make money, how to perform. Most DJs have full-time jobs, so even very successful DJs. So for me, it's a, in a way, starting into it, I already came from that position of having a basis, I suppose, you know.
Yeah, and that's super interesting, you know, and both of us are entrepreneurs, we both run startups, and as a startup founder, you have to be an optimist to succeed. Yeah. You know, you have to be able to look at terrible things ahead or a rough journey ahead and still see light at the end of the tunnel. And right. I feel like there are a difference between the DJs that, you know, have a proactive, optimistic mindset and those that have, you know, like a negative or pessimistic mindset. You know, are you going to look at this COVID-19 pandemic as something that's going to hold you back or propel you forward?
Right.
You know, I've seen tremendous, you know, growth in some DJs' careers through this pandemic. And I've seen some DJs completely innovate and do a 360 on this pandemic and really, you know, take this as an opportunity as opposed to a setback. So it really is up to the mindset that you have. And are you going to take this by the bullhorns and ride it forward, or are you going to kind of let it knock you down? And I think you definitely chose taking it forward and innovating and going forward with, you know, pursuing your DJ dream. And super, super amazing. Like, what was kind of going through your mind when you made that decision? Like, I'm going to go back to DJ. And also, what was the gap between, like, that, you know, that time you weren't doing
that? Was like a 9 year, that was like a 9-10 year gap, really, because I stopped at 9 years, because I stopped at 16 and started going back at 25.
So what clicked?
Yeah, so it's funny, it was super, it's hilarious how it kind of all happened. So I mean, you know, long story short, I went on to college with this mindset of, oh, you know, I gotta, you know, get a job and be, you know, I kind of was drinking the Kool-Aid of corporate America. And I talk about this with my company Forefront all the time, my startup, that, you know, then I went to corporate America. So I went from baseball to, hey, you know, maybe I should get a job. And then I got a job, and then I hated it. And because the lack of inclusion, I wasn't a fit for corporate America. So then I started my own company because I wasn't a fit. And the company's focus was to help change corporate America so they could be more inclusive to people like us, people of color. right? So that's how I got into startups, and we've been very fortunate. Our company has done workshops and trainings all over the world, France, in Mexico, in Scotland, Dominican Republic, Chile, all over the U.S. We've had 20 plus, at this point, probably 30 plus client relationships over 4 years. We've been recognized by Forbes 30 Under 30, by the World Economic Forum. And yeah, it's been a great journey. So I kind of got really immersed in that world of startups. And then I realized, I started the startup while in college out of my dorm room, graduated, and got really involved in the space, and it was a really exciting time. A lot of travel, but then I would say that a year into it, I realized, and this was, you know, a year out of college, I was like, wait a second, like, I'm a music head, you know, like, I can talk to you about music for days, for weeks. I can, you know, and I can talk to you the same way I can talk about, you know, disco, the same way I can talk about bachata, or the same way I can talk about grunge, right? So it's a very kind of unique perspective. And I'm like, wait, like, I know I have this in my heart. What am I doing about it? And it started by kind of saying, okay, I got to get back into just learning the instrument while running the startup. So I started getting back and really working on my own, whether that's DJing or guitar, and, you know, building my skills and just starting that process. Taking lessons again, but behind the scenes, right? So then what happened was, so I did that for a few years, and that was good, and that, you know, I kind of had a good relationship there. But then, like I said, when COVID hit, there was no more planes, there was no more conferences. And then a very funny thing happened that was kind of the main kind of thing that happened that led to DJing publicly and front facing, and really kind of launching all the way to where I am now, where now I'm even launching a show online and also performing online through the club app and also through Twitch. So the whole experience started with my computer. I had an older computer and I spilled juice on it, or I don't know if it was juice, but I can't believe it, because it felt like such a big life moment. But I remember it was like 4:30 and like a Wednesday, and I dropped some juice or something, and then it was like a MacBook Air, and then I just blew it and it wasn't working. So okay, I had to get a new computer, and I got this new computer, and then I also had a microphone because I started doing some voiceover work. And then the microphone I had for a few weeks, and then this new computer that I have, a computer that is MacBook Pro, I noticed that it has so much memory that I was able to take like my hard drive and like add all the music from the hard drive that I've had before. I wasn't able to do that. And then I was like, wait a second, like, now I have a microphone, I have this computer with all this music, and I have all this extra time. And then, you know, the rest was history, I guess.
Awesome, brother.
So that started with an equipment upgrade that was subconscious. So who knows, if that cup of water didn't go into that computer, maybe I would have not even come back in the game.
Wow, man. It's crazy that the things that, you know, transpire to kind of allow things to happen. It's like all the stars had to align for this to happen, and here you are. And it's funny, you know, when we first met, when I first introduced you to the club and what I was doing, and you were a part of my launch event, you were one of the first DJs that introduced me to like the special effects and the green screen background and the immersiveness of a live stream when you're using special effects to really create a great experience around the DJing, and you know, I thought that was amazing, and it really opened my eyes to the possibilities and how a DJ can really be a full-fledged entertainer in so many ways. Yeah. And curating virtual parties, and that was like a big motivator for me, especially in the early days of launching this platform, mm-hmm. of going forward with this, because the experience I had during your live stream. So like, what kind of like advice would you give to other DJs that are looking to leverage and up their game with their live streaming as a DJ?
Yeah, well, this is an incredible time, and this is in the time of any artist musician, and then specifically to DJs that are listening to this. I am just blown away right now with what is happening, because what we're seeing is that the world of DJing in particular, the hood is off in terms of what it was and I guess what it is, because now the only way to DJ, the only way to perform is online. So, you know, if you were a DJ that was getting booked because you had a certain connection, a certain plug, now those clubs are closed, those venues are closed, and now everything is online, right? So what we're realizing now is that the DJs that they were kind of surviving from plugs or from, you know, kind of more territorial approach to DJing, right? Like, this is my club, or this is my neighborhood, or this is what I know. And you know, that was one of the things that was very scary for me when I was starting, you know, because all the politics that is involved with that. Now, now with it being online, don't get me wrong, there's still, you know, politics online, but the playing field is a little bit more level in that now, you know, to be a successful DJ right now is, you know, that you're streaming and that you're performing online and that you're getting people to talk to each other and that you're creating the experiences online. You know, that is what success is right now. And if you didn't make that transition right now, even if things, you know, when things open up again, whenever that is, that's gonna set you back, because you know, the people that are gonna get the calls are the people that were like, you know, creating the presence, creating the party, getting new fans. Right now there's this is amazing. Like, there's so many incredible streamers that I love and that I follow and that I learn from, and I've been following them. I've really been a student for a year now, you know. Well, we would say from March, you know, because right when COVID hit, I really followed, just like the whole computer thing happened, I started following DJs and seeing how they did it. And that's where I started picking up all those pointers. And then I ran a series of tests throughout 2019 based on learning from those DJs. And there's just so much happening. I mentioned already the club app. I mentioned Twitch, but you know, some folks are on YouTube, some folks did Facebook, some folks did Instagram, but now we're seeing that the solutions that are really important or that are best are solutions that drive engagement and that are focused on the DJ. And that's where, you know, the club app really stands out. You know, that's where Twitch is also stands out, at least compared to Instagram. Instagram is really hard because Instagram will also block your stream midstream. That's no good, you know. So that you know, Instagram is, you know, it kind of started, but now it's not a thing anymore. But it shows you how it evolves. So I say that to say that I spend a lot of time just learning from DJs and you know, whether it's like Alex Sensation, who started Instagram, then went to YouTube, and he's, you know, he's considered the top Latin DJ in the US. I follow very closely his journey. to other DJs that have been on Twitch, like DJ Audio One and even Questlove, for example, just seeing what they do, learning from them, and then trying to see how I can come that with my own brand, which is The Latin Room, which is a show that we're launching on February 10th, which is also my birthday, which is going to be a weekly show at 8 o'clock, where we're going to be welcoming people to The Latin Room from anywhere they are. Nice. And it's an homage to the Latin rooms of the world, from salsa in London to pachanga in Paris to bembe in Brooklyn. So these are Latin rooms that we love, that we used to go to, that we were inspired by, that I have amazing memories at, but now they don't exist. So we try to create a little bit of that experience of the Latin room and take people there.
So there, no, that's awesome, brother. And I think that, like, you starting a new show is tremendous. And, we're still deep into this pandemic and we don't know when it's going to end. So for those DJs that are out there that have been hesitant of going live streaming and going on these platforms, do you recommend that they hop on? Is it too late? Or do you think that, hey, it's not really worth it? Or what's your advice to those DJs that have been hesitant?
Yeah, so absolutely. I mean, I would definitely say that the time is now. Obviously, if you need time to learn the game, to get tips, I do encourage that always, and that's what I did. I spent I did maybe 10, 12 streams last year, and they were really tests, so I can kind of understand the process of how to the whole thing of what equipment do you need to what are the things that you need to all these technical terms, OBS, etc. How do you create an engagement online, because it's a totally different game than how do you create engagement in person. So that's what I did. So I would start there. Don't be afraid to kind of get online, start that, start performing, even if it's just to yourself or to whoever. And then that's the first thing. And the second thing I would say is then start just networking, and networking online is with other DJs is really easy now, because of all the apps and the communities that exist. So I've been doing that. And the best way to do that is to really support other DJs and their shows and show up and become a fan. And quite frankly, the thing I would say is that if you're not excited about other people's shows and you're not like, you can't wait for their show to start and for you to learn something new and for you to be in the chat section and for you to get really involved in that community, then DJing is not for you, because you're not excited about music, you're not excited about people that inspire you. So you just try the next thing, where whatever that is, that you just can't wait for it to happen, and do that next thing. So for me, I've been, especially in the last, really even more so in the last few months, I stopped, let's just say that when I started streaming, learning the equipment, etc. Then when I kind of got it, I said, okay, well, I need a concept and I need a show. And I stopped streaming, I want to say maybe around October, so I can kind of develop that concept. And then there, of course, I still perform and practice on my own. But then I started investing in the shows, and there's so many shows that I follow online that I'm so excited about. And they've been become a guide for me, and now I join them in a community of shows. And so yeah, I mean, there's so many amazing things. There's so many different shows. Shows like there's two I'm gonna mention. One includes a former teacher of mine from middle school, who him and his wife His name is Perez Massimo, and then his wife, Lady Flick. Every Tuesday, they have a show called Love from NYC, which is all vinyl, and they play, you know, an incredible, you know, selection of a lot of deep cuts, things that you don't really hear anywhere. And it's like they take you on that journey of vinyl in their apartment. And then there's this other DJ that has, through him, I've discovered a lot of shows too, that he like, he DJs in the streets of New York City in like, you know, the middle of Times Square, or like, you know, overlooking the East River, the Hudson River. And his name is DJ Mike Marquez. That's another one I've learned a lot from. And now we have the Latin Room that's gonna join that family of shows that exist. And there's so many other crazy things. There's so many different ideas and concepts. And that's what I love about this digital environment, because it's so, in that way, it's so democratic, you know.
That's awesome, man. I really enjoy hearing your story and your journey. I'm in the DJ world. This is really great. I want to jump into our lightning round. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's do this. Describe your setup, hardware and software.
Yeah, so I'm on Serato, and I'm in the SR2, planning to transition over to the Roland 808 a DJ set, where they have the kick drums and also the controller at the same time. I'm on a MacBook Pro, and I use a Plyle microphone, Tascam headphones, ring light, you know, soundbox. Pretty straightforward. That's for now, you know. But then once I keep growing the show, and hopefully with your support, whoever's listening, if you're in the show, we'll get even more stuff. But I would also include the design. Now we have some palm trees here for the setup of the Latin Room in this place. And then we have a standing adjustable height desk, which serves as a work desk and a DJ stand. So those are some of the things coming in the show.
Besides yourself, who's your favorite DJ?
Oh man, I definitely would say Alex Station. You know, just growing up, his voice is just like ringing in your ears when you turn on La Mega. And he's Latin DJs have really not made it to the point that hip hop DJs or house DJs have. So, but he's really pushed that. He's really pushed it a whole lot. So I really appreciate him.
What has been your favorite party or event that you've DJed at?
Yeah, I would say the Carolina Sweet 16, which was when I was 14. It was my first gig, and I had very good memories of it, because I remember just the butterflies, that experience. You never have that first experience again. And I overprepared, and it went well. I wish I overprepared for the one after, but that's a story for another day.
What's one thing you hate about live streaming as a DJ?
Man, it's something I hate. I don't know. I would say what can be better, because I think hate is all about what could be better, I guess, or what you don't like could be better. I wish more. I honestly, the thing that could be better, I would say, is that, and it's gonna change, I know for a fact, is that the adoption rate is still very early. So it could feel like you're in a bubble sometimes, even though there's thousands of people, like I said, seeing Alex Sensation or Questlove or Jazzy Jeff or DJ Audio One or all these other DJs, and there's thousands of DJs, you know, that's still like whatever, like single digits percentage of all live streaming. It's gonna grow. I'm just anxious for it to grow, I would say. But it's gonna grow. It's gonna happen. It's just like anything.
Shout out DJs you know personally. that story needs to be shared on this podcast?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many, but yeah, we'll definitely mention once again, a shout out to Perez Massimo, he's not even, we're not even always in touch that way, but me following his journey, I've learned a lot about really different music, different genres. When I was started DJing and I told him, he recommended a book, which I think is like the DJ Bible, which I really recommend to anybody, which is Last Night, The DJ Saved My Life by Bill Brewster, which goes into the history of DJing and death. And I think I read it like in 2 days, even though it was like a million pages. So shout out to him.
Where can people find you online or even in person if you're doing any in-person events?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram at DJ Josue Live. You can find me on Twitch at DJ Josue. And you can find me also, of course, in the club app at DJ Josue. And that's really where I'm concentrating my efforts for my music. Even I also have a SoundCloud where I upload my mixes, DJ Josue Live there. And I also play I create a lot of demos and a lot of songs that are unfinished that I just like to create and play around with, because a few years from now, the plan is to start a band. You know, I think that you start with one thing, do one thing to another. And, you know, as long as you put the word demo, it's fine because it's just a demo, right? So I've been, you know, I also play around with Ableton and create stuff there.
Great brother. This was a great interview. I appreciate you being here on the My DJ Story podcast. DJ Josue, my brother, thank you.
Thank you so much. See you in the Latin room.
Are you a DJ? Well, we want to hire you as one of our official The Club virtual DJs. We've been working hard to source hundreds of paid virtual gigs, and we need DJs of all kinds that are interested in getting paid to curate virtual events for our clients. Whether you're a new DJ just getting started or a veteran in the game, we have paid gig opportunities for you. Text I'm in to 609-201-1027 to get notified for paid gig opportunities from The Club. Tell a friend. We look forward to working with you. Now back to the podcast.